To impeach or not to impeach, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the tweets and memes of outrageous orange man or swim in fantasies against a sea of red. Hey everybody, I'm Steve Green, badly misquoting Shakespeare. This is Right Angle with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. And it's funny, gentlemen, but after the Mueller report came out on Friday last week, whenever that was, it seems like ages ago already, it exonerated the president. Whether or not you think it completely exonerated him is kind of doesn't matter, because the attorney general, and this decision was left up to the attorney general by Bob Mueller, said there's no obstruction, so there's nothing to go, which means naturally our completely sane, reality-based community friends on the left are doubling down on impeachment talk. I would say for years, all they have to do is not act crazy, and they can't even manage that. Gentlemen, I have to, this is such a long list here, I actually have to use my notes. Democrats in Congress are beginning to break with Nancy Pelosi on impeachment. High-level Democrats running for president are doing the same. That includes Liz Warren, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke. Well, those two are—they're kind of, sort of on board. They're still feeling their way around the electorate here. Elijah Cummings, chair of the House Oversight Committee, said on Face the Nation, I think even if we did not win, he's talking about winning an impeachment fight, possibly if there were not impeachment, I think history would smile upon us for standing up for the Constitution. I almost said standing up to the Constitution. That would have been a great a little more accurate slip. Right? Where was I? Let's see. Oh, Congressman Seth Moulton, who just announced his candidacy for the Democratic nomination, he came out in favor of impeachment, as did another just announced Democratic presidential candidate, Congressman Eric Nukamal Swalwell, and of course, AOC and various other members of Congress. Scott, I know during the primary races, everybody tacks to the left if they're Democrats, and everybody tacks to the right if they're Republicans. And then you tack back to the center for the general election. How do you tack back to the center after calling for the impeachment of a president who just got exonerated after a two-year investigation?
Yeah, I don't think there's any downside for the Democrat candidates in this, despite the fact that you know it's getting good in the Democrat field when you hear socialist Bernie Sanders saying, I don't think we should really press for impeachment. I mean, I think we should conduct appropriate hearings and things like that, but let's not make that the heart
and soul. Let me interrupt you for just a sec. Well, no, he didn't, but the reason he came out against impeachment is because it will distract from the things he wants to talk about, like how racist and homophobic and sexist we all are. So that's his winning message.
That's right. But I'm saying, like, if he sounds like the practical guy in the bunch, you know you're in trouble, because he's saying just what they all believe. Yeah. But, you know, I think that there's no downside for them in the primaries. And I think they do, they'll drop hints about this in the general election. But by that time, it will have become clear that their efforts to impeach are going to fail. In fact, I'd be surprised if it even came to a vote, even in the heavily Democratic House. But if it does, that's fine. I think that they have so little else to hope for. What do you do when you're running against 4% unemployment rate, 4% GDP growth or better? He's got the success of African Americans and Latinos and other racial minorities that have become part of the Democratic's historic coalition in the face of, you know, 8 years of despair under the previous Democratic president. They're now employed in many cases and earning more money, and things are looking up and better for them. Whether you think the foreign governments think our president is crazy or not, we certainly are enjoying a relative time of peace with regard to international conflict directly with the United States. So, you know, the Democrats are running in the face of all this. What else are they going to do? I mean, they can't stand up and say, well, you know, that Donald Trump is really crass and he's rude and stuff like that, because everybody knows Donald Trump is crass and rude. Even the people who voted for him know that. They just don't care. You know, that doesn't factor into their decision. They've sort of priced that in already. So if you're a Democrat, what else do you have to cling to but the threadbare hope that somehow you can capture the party's nomination by advocating for something that never will be and never can be But then again, what is progressivism but a hope in something that never will or can be?
Well said. Bill, I think the media is kind of egging these candidates on, believe it or not. Newsbusters reports that CNN on their big town halls has had a town hall over the weekend, had zero questions on the Christian worshipers. What's the stupid phrase? Easter worshipers on the horrible bombings in Sri Lanka, and eight on impeachment. Eight questions on impeachment. And the country as a whole is dead set against this. So Scott says there's no downside for the Democrats during the primary, but I really have to wonder how much harm they're going to do themselves going into the general election, because Trump was put into the White House by about 120,000 Obama to Trump voters, former Democrats who took a chance on Donald Trump because they felt betrayed by 8 years of Obama and the promises that he failed to deliver on. So Trump's secret to re-election is probably not just to hold on to those voters, but to increase his margin with them. And if you're one of these people who already feels disappointed, sold out by the modern progressive Democrats, so much so that you took a chance on this kind of rude Republican guy that hadn't run for elective office before, and then your fellow Democrats, because you're probably still a registered Dem, your fellow Democrats are saying, yeah, we're thinking about removing this guy from office. How do you stop Trump? How do you hang on to your majority in Congress like that?
Well, I've obviously been looking away, trying to get the exact title, but I'm pretty sure I can remember it anyway. There's a tremendous book about the Spanish Armada and the Enterprise of England, as the Spanish called it, the attempt to invade the British Isles. And they pulled together all of their ships and all of their men and all of their forces. And the only thing that they hadn't really planned on was how to get the guys on shore. And when they left, I think it was Philip II who said, well, we sail in confident hope of a miracle. and that's basically, it's basically it. That's what this really is. It is this kind of last ditch kind of thing that we see in many, many military situations where things become either hopeless, or you're too overconfident, or too full of despair, or you're out of ammunition, or all of them. In the case of the Democrats, it's like all you've got left is the confident hope of a miracle. And so, you know, that's how you go sailing off into battle. It's an enormous mistake for them to continue to flog this dead horse. I can utterly believe they'll continue to make this mistake. Every time that they bring it up after the report has come in is another indication to the American people that these are not sane folks, and that the people who are abetting them in the news media are even worse. To be as blunt as I can about it, there's an awful lot of bat guano crazy fleeing the belfry right now, and all of this is in our favor, Steve. When you've got nothing to run on, except for, you know, Orange Man Bad, and everybody else is looking around saying, well, Orange Man may be bad, but everything else is actually really pretty good, you're really screwed. And the best part about it is it continues this divide between the kind of the extremists on the Democratic Party, you know, because now the Democratic Party represents the entire spectrum of American political thought, from the far left on one hand to the extreme left on the other. And so you've got the radicals who are saying, impeach him, plus Green New Deal and all the rest of it. And there's some shred of people like Pelosi and so on who are thinking, well, we may want to at some point capture regular people, at least some small percentage of them, if we want to win the presidency. They continue to become more divided, and more positions are staked out that they're going to have to answer for. And I just think it's just swell.
We can certainly hope. It does look that way. I'm loving this to death, because, like, I don't know. You know the first rule of polls, right? When you're in one, stop digging. Steve's second rule of polls is when your opponent is in one, give them a bigger and nicer shovel. Let them go to town. I quoted Hamlet. Well, I misquoted Hamlet at the beginning of this because I put together, there might have been cocktails involved last night. I put together this thing between impeachment and Hamlet with this sort of indecision on the Democrat side. So many just don't want to commit because it's too early yet and it doesn't poll well for the general. But they also need to capture their base voters during this primary season that's coming in. And the Democratic base still polls about 52% in favor of impeaching the president. That's a minority of the country, but a majority of Democrats. What's the Hamlet angle? Well, Hamlet is probably Shakespeare's greatest play for a number of reasons. There are the themes, the eternal themes of honor and mortality and family that are strung throughout it. There's the poetry, the language, the meat for a great actor to chew on and the various soliloquies. Just, it's a brilliant play. But I think one of the reasons I like it so much is that Shakespeare got rid of any possibility for an unnecessary sequel by, well, you know, killing off everybody that had a speaking role in that play. And I think that's what the Democrats are doing right now to their permanent Democratic majority that they were talking about just a few years ago. They're just killing it off, wiping the stage clean, and with any luck, it'll be up to some people with some actual sense to clean things up afterwards. And that is your Right Angle on that, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. If you like what you see, please click on over. We would love to have you as members and the producers of this fine content. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.